Hello.
Governor Reagan, Mr. President.
Hello.
There you are.
Hello.
Mr. President.
Hope I didn't get you out of bed.
No, I'm up, although I'm still trying to sleep on Oriental time, and it's not working very well.
8:15. Well, that was a bad vote, wasn't it?
Well, I want to tell you, we
worked our tails off, I must say. I think
I know. I was just sick.
54 to 59. I'm telling you, I just finished a meeting with Ted Agnew. He's back from Greece and Turkey, and both of whom we got, incidentally. We didn't get Iran, though, damn it. You know, you figure there's the Shah. We've done all the things for him, but these African countries, they're the ones that I must say were disappointing.
Well, Mr. President, the reason I called was, I know it is not easy to give a suggestion or to advise to the President of the United States, but I feel so strongly that we can't, in view of 72, we can't just sit and take this and continue as if nothing had happened. And I had a suggestion for an action that I'd like to be so presumptuous as to suggest. My every instinct says get the hell out of that kangaroo court and let it sink. But I know that it would be extremely difficult and not the thing to do. But it has occurred to me that the United States, the people, are, first of all, they don't like the UN to begin with.
That's right.
And it seemed to me that if you brought Mr. Bush back to Washington to let them sweat for about 24 hours as to what you were thinking of, and then if you went on television to the people of the United States and said that Mr. Bush was going back to the UN to participate in debate and discussion to present our views and so forth, but he would not participate in any votes, but the United States would not vote and would not be bound by the votes of the UN, because it is a debating society. You don't have to say that, but it is a debating society, and so we'd be there, our presence would be there, but we would just not participate in their votes. I think it would put those bums in the perspective they belong.
It sure would.
I think it would make a hell of a campaign issue, because positive that the people of the United States are thoroughly disgusted. And I think that this would put any candidate from the other side, the constant question would come to him in any such campaign, what would you do now? And if he was stupid enough to open his mouth and say, oh, hell, we'd go right back to operating as usual, I think he'd be hung out to dry.
Well, we've been trying to think here about what reaction to be. The I must say that the congressional action may be very interesting on the appropriation side.
Well, Mr. President, then, if they did what they threatened to do, they would simply be confirming your action. They'd be making the budget meet that new position of the United States in the UN, reducing our importance. The other way, if we do nothing and they take that action, it's a rebuff.
Yeah. Well, let me give some thought to the whole thing. It's a tough one, as you're well aware. We've got some fish to fry on India, Pakistan. We're trying to avoid a war there, and the UN may have to play some damn role there. Because we don't want to get involved. Let me see, in that miserable place. Let me give some thought to this whole thing. I have been thinking about it, and I've talked this morning with two or three people about it. Uh, what the legal problems are and so forth.
Well, I just felt I had to make this suggestion.
So I know. I appreciate it.
Last night and the night after that announcement came on, one commentator called me.
Yeah.
He told me that the, and I told him, I said, well, I just think it confirms the moral bankruptcy of the organization. The UN.
Good.
And he told me the phone was ringing off the wall. Mm-hmm. And he said, with people that are just enraged.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the last of the big four.
Right.
Here's the old boy. We had a wonderful audience with him while we were there.
Yeah, yeah.
An hour.
A remarkable man.
Yes. And
you must have really enjoyed it. He's such an amazing man.
Yes, he is.
Darn near. How old is he now? 80?
He's in his 80s.
I know. But you'd never know it.
No. Sharp as a tack.
Mm-hmm.
And he and with the madam translating.
You're, as you are quite aware, of course, this has nothing to do. This action does not affect at all our defense treaty and all that.
No,
I mean, we're, and he knows that. He also knows what we did. As a matter of fact, I made telephone calls to the four capitals on this thing myself.
Yeah.
Got two of them, and two to abstain. They should have gotten the other two, but that's about all.
Well, I was putting pictures along the way, and last night, I tell you, to watch that thing on television as I did.
Yeah.
To see those...
Well, and then the tail wags the dog there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The tail wags the dog.
Please give some thought to this. I think it would be very dramatic, and I think if the United States just continues business as usual in the UN with this, I think I just think our people are going to be terribly disappointed, and I think here's a chance for Uncle Sam to just slap their wrists. We're there. We can express our views and debate, but they're just not important enough for us to vote on this issue. Bound as that. Naturally, if we do that, we're not bound to the vote.
Yeah, I get it.
Well, I had to sleep all last night.
Yeah. Oh, I'm telling you, I had a... it was a hard night here. Hard night here. We were on the phone right up to the last minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me give some thought to the thing, and I'll keep you posted on the... on what our strategy is. You know, we can do some things that are quite effective in many areas here. Incidentally, we're going to remember all of our friends that stood with us on this. Incidentally, among whom were the Japanese.
Yes.
They were great.
Oh,
the Japanese were great.
They were great.
And
I was there.
And
asked a question in Japan.
Yeah.
And I, what if this went wrong? And I said, well. And that was where I first used the expression. I said, I would consider it an act of immoral political expediency by the United Nations.
Moral bankruptcy is a good term. Yeah. Yeah. And a hell of a precedent, you know. If you can throw out a nation, a simple majority, the next they might throw out Portugal or South Africa.
Yeah.
Or Ghana. Who knows?
That's why I think they need a jolt.
Well, let me get at it. And when did you get back?
We got back Saturday morning.
Saturday morning, but you had a good trip.
Oh yes.
Yeah, I got reports on it, and
good.
And that's
an exciting
part of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vietnam and everything.
Yeah.
And it's going well there, isn't it?
It seemed to be. Yes.
Yeah. Casualties this week are six, so there we got it wound down.
Yeah. Well, I shall leave you your troubles. I know the press is going to be waiting for me. I'm going to. I know I'll have to answer, and I'm going to continue along the same tone. But
sure.
As far as I'm concerned,
Well, you might indicate that for example, that you feel that this greatly weakens the. The support for the United Nations in the United States that will have repercussions in the Congress and that sort of thing is will reverberate around.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Peck, before I left, I don't know what the hell is United Nations Week or when it is. I signed that proclamation
for the
UN Week, and I'm going to go over, and if it still isn't over, if we haven't had it yet,
okay.
I'm going to withdraw the proclamation.
Yeah, I bet you. I don't know whether, I probably signed it too, but I didn't go to anything, I can assure you.
Oh, I didn't either.
Oh, there are all sorts of dinners, you know.
Yeah, oh, out here Warren made a speech at one the other.
Yeah.
It was
a
crappy old man.
Yeah.
I was telling
you. Oh, incidentally, I think you should know another subject that we've got two terrific nominees for the Supreme Court. They're tough, strong, conservative, and they are just squealing like this. You know, we ran Mildred Lilly by you, and we have in mind Smith for another one. But, these two you can bank on. Our liberal friends, Powell of Virginia is just a great fellow, and Rehnquist is probably a strong young guy. Well, he's not too damn young, he's 47, but probably he'll be the strongest man in the court.
My heart was, of course, set on Smith. Out here, he's a hell of a guy.
Well, let me say, he's at the right age, and he is right up there on consideration. Our problem was that we had to take one Southerner, was Powell, and I couldn't take two corporation lawyers.
Yeah.
You see the problem.
Yeah.
He's a corporation lawyer, and the other is. But Smith, you know, has got a terrific record, chairman of the Board of Regents and so forth, and as Mitchell will tell you, he was right in it. And one of those other guys, what the heck, they can't live forever. Who knows?
No.
Let's hope the good guys live longer.
Yes.
Well, give my best to Nancy, and I'll be back in touch with you about this.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.